Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I would invite you this morning to follow along as we read from these words from the book that we love, starting Mark chapter 6, and we're going to start in the middle, or the end of verse 6, where it says this. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They, the 12, went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And jump to verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus, said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Amen. So the year 2023 is almost 10 hours old. Still pretty new, yes? And it's a year, one of the things we talk about with New Year's, it's a year ripe with possibilities, ripe with opportunities, ripe with, we can allow our imaginations to run wild about all the things that lie ahead. Are any of you New Year's resolution type people? I have people in my life that I know that they make a list of all the things that they want to do. And maybe we call them resolutions, or maybe we just call them goals that we have, ambitions that we have for the year ahead. We want to read these books, or we want to go and travel to these places. We want to lose this weight, or we want to accomplish this achievement that we've been working on. And we have all of these things that we are aiming for and hoping for. And we look at the calendar ahead, and we look forward to that graduation day, or we look forward to that wedding day, or some other milestone that's going to come. And this happens in all sorts of different arenas of our lives, right? We have this in our own personal life, the things that we just mentioned a moment ago. And maybe there's some of us students who have this as well. You know, we're in the middle of a sports season and we want to do well in that season, or show choir season is ramping up, or a robotics competition is coming and we want to do well. Or maybe we look at this new year and we're like, I just want to pass third grade. Or maybe we say, I don't want to flunk trigonometry. Maybe that's where we're at. But we also have this in our work life as well, don't we? We maybe look at the year 2023 and we're like, maybe this will be the year that promotion is going to come that I've been earning and looking forward to, and that's going to include that bump in salary. Or maybe in the first few months of 2023, we've been working on that project for months and months and months, and now this is the time where we get to put it into action. Or maybe this is the year that we look for that new job and we're saying, I need that job that's going to be better for my family so I can spend more time with them. Or maybe as a family, we look ahead to this new year and we think about all the things that are to come. This is the year we're going to Disney, finally. Or this is the year we're going to go to that national park. Or this is the year we're going to slow down and just enjoy evenings, summer evenings on the deck. Or maybe this is the year there's those milestone anniversaries or those milestone birthdays. You know, the ones with the zeros at the end? And so in all these different areas, in all these different arenas, we have ideas and imaginations and possibilities of what the year to come is going to bring. And here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to give you like 15 seconds. I want you to turn to someone in front of you, behind you, to the side of you, and I'd love for you just to share with them one thing that you are anticipating or one thing that you are looking forward to in the year 2023. Can we do that? I'm going to give you 15 seconds. Go. Five seconds. All right, I'm going to bring us back together. We have lots to talk about today, but I'm going to bring us back together, and I love to hear the buzz there. I love to hear the ideas. I love to hear the possibilities as we think about school, and we think about life, we think about work, we think about family, we think about all these things of 2023. What will this year bring? And I hope that we also include in that ministry. I hope that we also think about what are the possibilities and what are the opportunities that are before us, that God has before us here at Westview Church when it comes to ministry. A new year can bring about a new focus, a new determination to seek and pursue God's will, the things that are happening in ministry in this place and through this place around our community and around our world. And I'm grateful that as we head into this new year that we have that vision here at Westview that continues to guide us. It has guided us for many years and continues to do so. It continues to set the path for ministry. And I'm going to put the vision statement here on the screen, and I would love for you to read this together with me. Are you ready? Creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. We have sought both in tangible ways and in our spiritual lives for one and for all to find the rest, identity that is found in Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for a vision that leads and guides us. I'm also so grateful as we head into this year of 2023 that we are fully staffed. Last year was a very different story at this time, and I'm so grateful for our staff who provides leadership. We've got some on staff that have been around the block a couple of times, and so they bring wisdom and they bring experience with them, and we've got some new staff who bring fresh outlooks and fresh ideas. I'm so grateful that we have leaders in place, our elders and our deacons and our governing board, who are passionate in pursuing God's will for Westview and how God is calling us to continue to live out this vision. And I'm also grateful for you. I'm grateful for the people. I'm grateful for the you and me. I'm grateful for the body of Christ that comes and gathers together and seeks to live into God's will into this new year. And this morning, I'd love to encourage us as we are on this, not just first Sunday, but we're on this very first day of 2023. And I would love to encourage us, the people of Westview Church, to consider what it might mean to join Jesus in ministry in 2023. I think you and I both know that God could just snap his holy fingers and everything God desires would happen quicker than a blink of an eye. And yet God invites us to participate in the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of redemption, the ministry of restoration, what Jesus began in his time here on earth. As we look at the scripture passage that we read this morning, we see Jesus inviting his disciples to participate in ministry. Up until this point in Mark's gospel, Mark has this fast-paced gospel. It just keeps going immediately and immediately and immediately and immediately. And then really, up to this point in chapter 6, it's really been a one-man show. There's no birth narrative in Mark. Jesus shows up, gets baptized, and immediately starts proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he gets busy driving out demons, healing the sick. He's answering questions from those in authority. He's calling disciples to follow after him. He's bringing healing and restoration, and he's teaching using parables to convey his message and so much more. And then right before our scripture passage that we read, we find this very interesting passage where Jesus is rejected at his hometown. And it's almost as if this moment changes the game strategy for Jesus. Because he no longer is a one-man show. But after that moment, he invites his disciples to participate along with him. And I believe that that invitation for Jesus' disciples to participate with him in ministry continues to this very day, 2023, a year that is now 10 hours old. You and I as disciples are still being welcomed to join Jesus in his work. And so what we're going to do is we're going to dive deep into the passage that we read. If you don't have your Bible still open, I'm going to invite you to get them back open. Pull out that app once again. We're going to look at verse by verse or even phrase by phrase. And so we're going to start right here in verse 7. So chapter 6, verse 7. And the very first words of verse 7 say this: calling the 12 to him. This is the action of Jesus. Jesus is calling the 12 to him. The word there, call, or calling, means to summon. It means to come alongside. It really means to join the work that the one who is doing the calling is already doing. Jesus has been proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He's been helping those who have been hurting. And now Jesus is calling, he's summoning his disciples to join him in that work, to participate alongside of him. And that call extends to us today. We do not believe in circumstance or luck or by chance or a 50-50 flip of a coin that we are here and we are gathered together, or that we are here on this first Sunday of 2023. No, we believe that we are called by God to this place at this time to engage the work that God is inviting us to do, to take part in the role that God wants us to play, to do the opportunity that God wants to accomplish in us and through us here at Westview. And so we believe that we are called, we too are summoned to join Jesus in ministry. And as verse 7 goes on, we see that those who are called are then sent. Look at the next part of verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he, Jesus, sent them two by two, sent them out two by two. See, here's the thing. We are not meant as disciples just to show up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and sit in comfy chairs and sing a few songs and listen to a profound message every week and then go back home to our real lives. We are called and then we are sent. We are sent to go out. We are sent to participate in the ministry that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Wherever that is, whatever arena that is, maybe it's in our home, maybe it's in our neighborhood, maybe it's at our work, maybe it's at our school, maybe it is somewhere else. We are called and we are sent. And I love the fact that we are not sent alone. Do you see what Jesus did with the disciples? He sent them out two by two. Ministry is not just me. Ministry is not just our staff. Ministry is not just our elders and deacons. If you're involved in ministry, you are not a solo leader leading a silo ministry. We do this together. Two by two, maybe three by three, maybe four by four, maybe small group and small group, maybe section by section, but we do this together, encouraging, working alongside one another, supporting each other in the ministry that Jesus has called us to do. And so we as disciples, we are called and we are sent. Now, if you want to stop right here with me, that's okay, because if this feels a little daunting, that's all right, because we kind of went from 0 to 60, didn't we? A couple minutes ago, we were just saying, 2023, wonder what could happen, to now being called and sent into ministry. Does that feel like a lot? It does to me. And so I love that Jesus here, what we're going to see next is Jesus offers three different things that are to encourage us and to support us as we are called and as we are sent. We see the first thing in verse 7. After Jesus called the 12, he sent them out and it says, and gave them authority. Now notice the first words of verse 8. These were his instructions. And then look at the last part of verse 6 that we read, right? That Jesus is going around teaching to village, to village, to village. And then think about what we said that Jesus has been doing all over the place in Mark's gospel. He's been doing ministry. And so you put those three things together and you see that Jesus calls his disciples and he sends his disciples and he gives them authority. He gives them instructions and he gives them an example. Let's start with the authority. The disciples are filled with authority to do the task that is before them. Now think about what that means. Jesus, who is the only head of the church, grants authority, grants power. The Greek word there is exousia. And this is what it means. Exousia is the unlimited possibility of action proper to God. Let me say that again. Exousia is the unlimited possibility of action proper to God. That is what Jesus gives his disciples. He says he gives them authority over evil. He gives them authority over the disruptions and the distortion that is caused by sin. That's the power and that's the authority Jesus gives those 12. And friends, that's the same power that lies within us. I love where the Apostle Paul says at the end of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying for the believers. And one of the things he prays is this. He prays that we as believers might know the incomparably great power for those who believe. And Paul says that power is this. That power is like the working of God's mighty strength, which God exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you get what that means? Do you get what that means? The same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is a power that is given to us. Jeremy Camp, you maybe know this singer-songwriter. He's got a song, same power. And this is how he says it. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to walk, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. Do you believe that, friends? I hope so. Because that power is given to you and to me. A power that we can exercise with authority as God calls us and he sends us in this year ahead. And so Jesus calls his disciples, he sends his disciples, and he gives them authority. The other thing he gives to them is instruction. And we find in verse 8 and following some very specific instructions that are for this moment for these disciples in this context. He tells them what to bring, where to go, how to operate, what to do if they're not nice to you. He gives them very specific instructions. I love the fact that Jesus has given instructions to the Big C church that transcend any context and any moment and any situation. Jesus gives the instructions to the church, and we call them the greats. The great commandment. Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus says everything else you do is going to fall underneath that. He gives instructions to the church. There's the other great, the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go everywhere and tell everyone the good news of Jesus Christ, the hope of the gospel. Jesus gives instructions to the Big C church that are timeless, that transcend any context, transcend any moment. And so these are the instructions that he has given to us, Westview Church. Same instructions that he has given to any church here in the metro. Same instructions that he's given to any church in the state of Iowa, in the nation, and across the world. Now, how we live that out and how each church lives that out, that can change just a little bit. That is unique based on context and community and people and gifts and moments. But Jesus has given his people instructions. Love God. Love others. Tell people about me. And so those who Jesus calls and those who he sends, he gives authority, he gives instructions, and he gives his example. The example is found, at least in our passage here at the end of verse 6. Jesus goes from village to village to village to village, and he's teaching. He's proclaiming that message that he shared from the very first moments of Mark chapter 1. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus is going around, as we saw at the beginning of Mark, as you read to the beginning of Mark, you see Jesus is bringing healing and restoration to those who are hurting. This is the example that the disciples are to emulate. Those who have been called, those who have been sent, those who are filled with authority, those who are guided by instructions, they then follow the example of Jesus. And we see here, I love verses 12 and 13. Two summary verses of what the disciples do. We see they follow the example of Jesus. Check out verse 12 with me. They went out and preached that people should repent. The message of Jesus. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The mercy of Jesus. What do the disciples do? They do what Jesus was doing. They participate in what I'm going to call this morning, I invite you to call it this morning as well, M&M ministry. Not M&M's my favorite kind of candy. Talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? Plain M&M's. Someone asked me even this morning, peanut? No. Plain M&M's, my favorite candy, plain M&M's. But that's not the kind of M&M I'm talking about, nor am I talking about Eminem, the great rapper from Detroit, 8 Mile Road. I'm not talking about him either. M&M ministry. Message and mercy. The disciples preach a message of repentance. Turn away from sin and turn to God. The disciples extend mercy, offering healing and wholeness to those in need. That M&M ministry is still relevant today. We who are called and sent, we are called and sent to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, of sins forgiven and of life eternal. We who have been called and sent are also called to be the hands and feet of Christ in this world and in this community, extending the mercy, extending encouragement and love and care for those who are in need. This M&M ministry is really the foundation for the ministry of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And really, M&M ministry can be the launching pad for ministry in this year ahead. That we could consider and imagine, how can we boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ in this year? How can we boldly live out the mercy of Jesus Christ in our community? M&M ministry, message and mercy. I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning. We who have been called, we who have been sent, we're given authority, we're given instructions, we're given an example. And I'm going to ask you, just join me for a moment, to pause right here. And to ask yourself a question. You know, how or in where, in what ways is Jesus inviting me to join him in ministry in 2023? So that we'll put the question here on the screen. This is the question for us. How am I being invited to proclaim the message and extend the mercy of Jesus? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Take a moment. We're just going to pause. And I'm going to ask you to reflect on that question. I'm going to ask you to consider that, to think deeply about it. I'm going to invite you to even pray about that. Just a moment of silence in this space. And ask God, God, how are you inviting me? How will you invite me? How can I be sensitive to your movement in my life in this year ahead to proclaim the message and extend the mercy of Jesus? Take a moment to do that with me, please. I'm going to break that up and interrupt that now. And I think it feels kind of natural, you know, at the end of a reflection time to say, okay, we're wrapping up our message, or we're wrapping this up. But here's the thing. Our passage isn't done yet. There's more for us to consider. There's a whole second part of our passage. Really what we have this morning is we have the first part, and then as Mark often does, he interjects another story, and then we have the concluding part of the passage. And so the disciples, what we're going to find here is that they've been called and they've been sent, and then they return to Jesus. So if you have your Bibles again open, look at verse 30. Jump down to verse 30. They come back to Jesus, and they gather around Jesus, and it says that they reported to him all they had done and all they had taught. So here's the thing. When we consider this morning, right, we're inviting ourselves to consider joining Jesus in ministry in 2023. There's a rhythm to this. We are called, we are sent, we're equipped to do ministry, M&M ministry, and then there's another piece of this in which we return back to Jesus, and as the disciples do here, we report in. Another word for that is accountability. To give a word to the one who sent us about what we did and how we used the gifts and how we used the time and how we used the abilities and how we used the opportunities that were before us. And we can say, whoa, did I squander it? Was I apathetic to it? Or was I attentive to it? Was I obedient to where Jesus was inviting me to join him in ministry? And we come back, and maybe we could even say a year from now on the first Sunday of 2024, we come back, and the question would be, what will our report include? The disciples, they make the most of their opportunity, right? We already talked about verse 12. We already talked about verse 13. We saw that they got busy pursuing M&M ministry, and they share with Jesus all they had done and all they had taught. So much so, they didn't even have time to rest. Look at verse 31. I'm amazed by 31, right? More and more people are coming. More and more people are going. More and more people come and go and come and go and come and go. So much that the disciples didn't even have time to eat. And I love what Jesus does here. End of verse 31. And friends, we're going to spend a few moments on this because I think this is so critical for us. Right, the disciples got busy. I love it. Verse 12, verse 13, I love those verses. They got busy. They tell Jesus, this is all the things we've been doing. But more and more people kept coming and coming and coming and coming that didn't even have time to eat. And so Jesus says this to them. He says, come with me. I love those words of invitation. Jesus says, you, busy, come with me. I love that word, come, come. In fact, Westview, you know what we're going to do over the next several weeks? We're going to have a whole sermon series on all these different times where Jesus says that word, where he says, come. And here he says to those disciples who got busy doing M&M ministry, he says, come with me. Come with me. Come with me to this solitary place and get some rest. When we think about the rhythm of joining Jesus in ministry, and joining Jesus in his work. I mean, there is no doubt. We're called, yes. We're sent, yes. We're given authority, yes. We're given instructions, yes. We're given an example of Jesus, yes, and yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. But there's also another big fat yes, that in the rhythm of ministry with Jesus, it includes time of rest. Jesus invites us to come with him and get some rest. When we work Monday to Friday, what do we get? A weekend to rest. Kids are on break right now and they get a summer break from school. There's times of rest. Even in ministry, maybe especially in ministry, we can't go 100% of the time, 24/7, 365 days a year for our whole lives. We can't do it. We need rest. And friends, what I'm about to say next might be the most important thing that some of us need to hear this morning. And I'm going to say it in the context of our message this morning about joining Jesus in ministry, but this fits any of our contexts. All of those arenas we talked about earlier, as we dream about 2023, we think about life, we think about work, we think about school, we think about family. It fits all of this. Give yourself permission to rest when you need rest. Give yourself permission to rest when you need to rest. Because here's the thing. There's always more ministry to be done. There's always another message to share. There's always another act of mercy to offer. Look at verse 31. The people keep coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. And even in verse 32 and even in verse 33, right, Jesus say, let's get away here. And the disciples try to get away to that solitary place. But what it says is that many see them and they recognize them like, hey, those are the disciples who are doing great things. We want to follow them. And so it says they run on foot from all the towns and they get to the solitary place ahead of them. Right? The people keep coming. There's always more ministry to do. There's always another lesson to prepare. There's always another phone call to make. There's always another appointment to keep. There's always another need to help. And we put this in all of our contexts, right? There's always another report to get done at work. There's always another load of laundry to do. There's always another activity we could get involved in. There's always another and another and another and another and another and another. And bless Jesus in this moment, right? Because he says to those disciples, come with me, get some rest. But bless Jesus here as well, because I know, and I've been there, when I'm tired and I haven't eaten, hangry, right? And I want to have a moment of rest. I want to have a time of rest. And I try to get away, and then the need comes, and another need comes, and another need comes when I'm trying to get some rest. I can tell you very, very honestly, compassion is not the emotion I have. Bless Jesus here, right? Because he sees the large crowd coming. And he has compassion upon them. Now, why can Jesus have compassion on them? It doesn't say this, but here's what I wonder. This is just me speculating here. Jesus was real busy. One man show at the beginning of Mark. He has that moment in Nazareth. He sends out the 12. We're not told what Jesus does between there and verse 30. I wonder if Jesus himself got some rest. We're told throughout the Gospels Jesus was very good at finding a solitary place to pray and to rest. And because he got rest, he was able to have compassion on the crowd. And he was ready then to engage. Because what's the last thing we read in our passage? He began to teach them. Rest is so important. When we get weary, we get tired, even when we're doing the good work of M&M ministry, right? Message and mercy is so important in the rhythm of joining Jesus in ministry, that yes, we are faithful when he calls, yes, we are obedient when we are sent, and yes, we are attentive and we accept those times to rest so that we can have compassion when the next opportunity arises. So the important question then for us, have you given yourself permission to rest recently? Because if you notice, the need doesn't even stop in verse 34. If you got one of our programs today, maybe even saw it on the screen, we try to make this happen in different medias. It doesn't work as well. But we actually, if you look at the scripture passage, it's going to be through 44, and we try to cross it out. See, here's the thing. Look what happens after verse 34. Jesus is teaching, and it leads into one of the most famous passages in the Gospels. It leads to the feeding of the 5,000. The ministry keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. And so, yes, we respond to Jesus' call, and yes, we accept Jesus' invitation to rest when we join Jesus in ministry. All right, we've talked about a lot of things, so let's pull this all together. Let's do this. Today is the first day of a brand new year that is ripe with opportunity and ripe with possibilities. The imagination can run wild of all the things that is coming in every facet of our life, including joining Jesus in ministry. And Jesus is indeed inviting us. He's calling us. He's summoning us to participate in that M&M ministry right alongside of him. And he has, and he will give to us everything that we need in order for us to accomplish all that he calls us to do. And I'm not going to skirt this, friends. Our life as disciples of Jesus is to actively participate in the ministry that Jesus is calling us to do. It's not just to show up. It's not just to sit. It's not just to sing and to listen. It is to participate in the ministry that Jesus is calling us to do. That is part of being a disciple. That is our grateful act of obedience. And so when Jesus calls and he sends, we respond and we live into everything he has for us. And in the rhythm of that, it's important to find those pockets of rest and respite. The work is important. It ought to be our priority, absolutely, but we can't go 100% of the time. And so we take those moments so that we might be ready for the next moment of ministry and the next opportunity before us. 2023 is only a couple hours old, but I believe it has great yet-to-be-written potential. I believe wonderful things are ahead of us in our own individual lives, but also in the life and the ministry of Westview Church. I'm excited for what this year is going to bring. And I urge us as the people of God to be sensitive and to be attentive to how Jesus is leading us in our lives, to note where He is calling and how He is sending us, how He's inviting us to participate in ministry with Him, so that we might be the church, that we might be the body of Christ, that we might proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, and that we might extend mercy here and throughout this world. Friends, may God bless you as we do this, and may God bless the ministry of Westview Church in this year ahead as we faithfully follow Him. Let's pray about that together. Gracious God, a new year is before us, and it is once again filled with such promise and possibility. But God, before we move on, we acknowledge that in the midst of all the things of this past year, we just acknowledge all the different things, from the joys and the hardships of the past year, from celebrations and discouragements, all the things. And God, we know that in all of this past year, You were with us each step of the way. We praise You, God, for sustaining us in the hard moments. God, we praise You for providing moments of joy and celebration, that in all things and through all things, we praise You, O God. And so now we do look into this new year ahead, and we have so many hopes and so many dreams and in all the different aspects of our lives, but we acknowledge, God, that we cannot see fully any of them. But You know. And God, You are there. And so, God, what we want to do this morning is we want to lay our plans and our hopes and our dreams and our desires and our imagination before You. Whether it be for our lives, whether it be for our families, whether it be our work, whether it be our activities, our everything, we pray Your will be done in us and through us, in and through all things. And that includes ministry, God. The ministry that we partake in ourselves, the ministry that's happening in our homes, the ministry that's happening in our neighborhoods, in our school, in our work, and in all the other places You have planted us, and the ministry that we get to collectively share together as Westview Church as we are creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. We pray that we might indeed boldly proclaim the message of salvation found in Jesus. And God, we pray that we might boldly offer ourselves in extending the mercy of Christ to those in our community and throughout our world. Would You lead us, God? Would You show us exactly where and how You are calling each of us to join Jesus in ministry in this year ahead? Make Your calling, make Your sending clear. Make Your equipping abundant. And provide those pockets of rest for us to continue to lead with the compassion of Christ in all things. Lord, You know the people and the situations that have been on our hearts and that have been in our prayers in the recent days. We continue to pray for Irvin and his recovery from that initial DBS procedure. God, we pray for strength. We pray for restoration. We pray for healing. We pray that You would be with Gail and the entire family as they journey with him in this now much longer recovery than anticipated. Lord, we pray for Bill, and we pray for his recovery from illness. We're grateful he was able to leave the hospital and enter a facility where he can gain strength. Lord, would You also hear our prayers for little Elliot as he seeks healing from this RSV? Be with his parents, his siblings, and the extended families. They pray and care for him. God, we also know that You are aware of the many, many other needs and concerns that are upon our hearts. And although they may be unspoken by us in this moment now, they are certainly right there before Your gracious throne. We pray for students and for teachers who head back to school this week and engage really kind of more or less the second half of this year. We pray for many who are on this holiday season, who are still traveling. We pray for safety, and we pray that for the break that has been, and that we can now set our attention fully back on work and school and tasks and opportunities before us. Thank you for the rest that it's been. God, as we've just prayed many times, we just, in all things, we pray that you would lead and guide us according to your good and pleasing and perfect will. And we ask that your will would be done in us and through us always. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.